still away. They're back on Tuesday, I think. We'll say Tuesday. We'll give him an extra day tomorrow that he can come in and do all the office work and all of that. I'm pretty sure it's Tuesday. Just want to remind the ladies, all the women in the house, about our Cherish Connect that's coming up on Friday, the 4th of May. And it starts at 7 o'clock here at the Gospel Centre. And if you would give your name to Lorraine so that we can get numbers all organised. Don't leave it to the last minute. Be women of honour. Let's show some of those men. Ho, ho, ho. That we girls can do it too. We're better. That we can give Lorraine all the names. And then there's no panic at the end for Robin and all her organisers that want to know whether, does she need to do this? Does she need to do that? No, she doesn't. We're going to be organised women of God. School holidays are on, so there's not very much on. Murray goes, yes, yes, yes. Term has gone really quick once again, hasn't it? And I looked on the calendar this morning. It's like, also, it's only a couple of weeks away, and we've got our monthly prayer meeting once again. It's like, wow, Lord, it's just flying along. So, hallelujah. Also, this morning, we were supposed to have had a guest speaker, Nick Woodley from over at the high school. He was the chaplain, is the chaplain over there. And I got a phone call from Pastor Lou last night at like 6:30. Nick's not going to be there tomorrow. He's not very well. How's your word coming along? And I'm like, for tonight, not this morning, for tonight. And I'm like, yeah, it's going okay. And he's like, did you want to do it in the morning? And I'm like, oh, nearly hit a choke point, but I said, no, God, I believe God has given me a word for today. So bear with me this morning and it will be all good. But I just know that we need to just pray for Nick right now. We did pray for him out in the prayer room, but we just need to uplift him. Father, we thank you for Nick right now. Lord, we thank you for the work that he's doing over in the high school. Father, we thank you for the testimony of the young man that was going to take his own life. Lord, the testimony was he didn't, and he still is living today. And while he's alive, there is hope. And Lord, in that hope is Nick being the light of the world over in that dark place. So Father, we pray that you would lift him from the realm of sickness, Lord God. That Father, you would bring him into your glorious light, Lord. That, Father, healing would be his portion today, right now in whatever he is doing. And I thank you, Father God, that it's by the stripes of Jesus that Nick is healed and that Nick is made whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. He's an anointed man of God to go and do the work of the chaplaincy or whatever worker he's supposed to be. Father, we know that he is anointed to do that. So he needs to be there. So we thank you, Father, that you raise him up, that you call him out of the place that he is and call him into your light, the light of the world. Your name is Jesus, and you are his Lord and his Saviour. And in that is his healing. So we thank you for that, Father. We, Lord, give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing in each of our lives, Lord. That, Father, you're growing us from glory to glory. Hallelujah. We praise you today, Lord, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's take up our tithes and offerings. Does anyone have a testimony? I know Lorraine said to me last week, oh, I had a testimony this morning. Did you want to do that this morning? No. Well, you can do two things, can't you? You can run after the bag with Barry if you like. Hallelujah. And if you've got a testimony, just have a quick think while...
I actually have two now. See, you sort of hoard them. the first one was about 3 weeks ago, I think it was, Mum lost an earring, a little thingo with about four diamonds in it, and it fell out somewhere at home, and she couldn't find it. And she did just pray about it, you know, that stood on the scripture that what was it now? Nothing can be hidden that won't be revealed. Yes, I didn't want to say it the wrong way around. And anyway, about 5 or 6 days later, I was getting in the shower, and something was sharp under my foot. It was on the mat that's in the shower. And I picked the mat up carefully and had a look, and there was nothing there. And it wasn't until I'd finished my shower that I noticed just at the edge, on a lip about an inch high, there was something shining. And I thought it was just the water. So I thought, oh, well, I bent down and felt round, and it was the earring. And the amazing thing about that is that it was in the shower, and people had been having showers, and it never went down the plug hole. It stayed there. So just praise God for that. I mean, it was days later. Haven't found the back of it, but found the most important part. The other testimony was the power of words. And we have a fig tree at home. It's in a pot. It was in a little pot. And don't know how it got in it. It got in it in Melbourne, in my flat, on a window ledge with a closed window. So, and no one ate figs in my place, so I don't know. Anyway, Mum and Dad were visiting. They bought it home back in about 2006-07. Bought it back here to Goolwa, and it grew. And it grew and it grew, and now it's a massive thing, and it's been sort of chopped back a bit and everything, but it's never had any fruit. And it got threatened a few weeks ago, about 2 weeks ago, that it was going to be chopped down if it didn't fruit. And we went to the nursery in Goolwa, and they said, oh, they should fruit after about 4 or 5 years. So, yeah, it's probably just one that shouldn't be there, and cut it down. And we had visitors a week and a bit ago, and we're out looking at the garden, and this fig tree hurt us, because it now has figs. And it's 11 years, and it's fruiting for the first time. It's figging for the first time. And it's got these little, you know, and they're growing. So it's, your words are very, very important, whether they be negative or, well, you don't want negative, positive. It was negative. We told it if it wasn't going to fruit, it was coming out. And it's fruiting, so it's a bit opposite to, yeah, what Jesus said. But it's lovely. Praise God.
Because everybody loves... Well. Have faith, yes, exactly. Come on, Rosemary.
Glory to God.
Honesty, I suppose, and I believe it's the way that God was working through the lives of two young men. My son Richard got himself into a bit of trouble with alcohol, a lot of trouble, got very depressed, and fortunately he had the sense to come to us for help, and we tried to help him. And he tried very hard to turn his life around. He went to AA and had counselling and did all sorts he could to try and help himself. And Ralph used to help him a lot and talk to him. And Richard was a worker, but because of his problem, he couldn't get much work with computing like he used to do. So I used to push trolleys at Woolworths, clean at Big W, did anything to stay off Centrelink. He wanted to work. And it was was a volunteer at the Whale Centre, and he volunteered with the Dolphin Watch and Animal Rescue and all these things. Eventually he felt good enough to leave us and go and live in a flat on his own, and still kept on working. And we realised he was surrounded by a lot of people who had the same sort of problems. Anyway, that was all right. He tried to help them. And one day I realised that people were coming to Richard, as they said, you know, you're the only one here, Richard, who works. And they were coming, they were running out of money before they got the Centrelink checks, and they were going to Richard for a loan. And I said, be careful, Richard, you're struggling a bit yourself. He said, look, Mum, they're not bad people. They've just lost their way like me. They always pay me back. I thought, oh, okay, I will keep quiet. It's pretty good what he's doing. Anyway, Ralph and I started to size down. We wanted a smaller house, and one week we were surrounded by packing boxes, and we were busy. 7 o'clock one morning, a young policeman came to the door, and he said, we found Richard dead. I think he's had a heart attack. So, of course, it was devastating. I prayed a lot, and I didn't know which way to turn. My daughter came to me and she said, Mum, we've got to go and clean Richard's flat out. I think it's pretty bad. And I said, I can't do it. She says, no, you can't do it. But she said, I've got some friends helping me, and we paid a cleaning lady. And they went round to his flat. My grandson went to help with the heavy things, and while he was there, the young man next door, who was a drug addict, he wasn't very old, he came to my grandson and he said, was Richard your uncle? And he said, yes. He said, will you give your mother this money? The girl said, oh, what's it for? He said, I'll get my mother, she's inside. So Claire came and she said, what's it for? He said, well, last week Richard lent me $30 and I want to pay it back. Will you give it to his mother? Nobody knew about that $30. It must have been all that this young man had, because he had to borrow it. And I think that's pretty good. And when I go around Victor and other places and I see people who are obviously struggling, I think of Richard's words. They're not bad people, Mum. They've just lost their way. And I pray that both Richard and this young man will be far better place.
It's about his integrity, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, just one more.
Thank you. This is probably my favourite scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And it's about a simple thing. It's about my washing. I have to do my own washing, which I don't mind doing. I don't mind doing that. It's nice and clean. It's, yeah. I'll come down here and do the garden and get it dirty and... Yeah, anyway, so it's about the washing. And that week I was really busy, because I normally do two lots of washing, and so it really piled up. You know, I did it on Thursday, I think, instead of during the week. And it was just fits on the line, so I got a huge line, so it all fitted there. And then I went to see Dennis and Kath for a bit of a prayer meeting. And when we finished, it was 12 o'clock, it started to rain, you see. So I thought, oh, well, all things work for the good. No, God will find me some clothes somewhere to wear. Come to church in my shorts and t-shirt, they won't mind. But anyway, so I got home and some of it was quite dry still. So I took it off the line, put it around the chairs and inside, but I couldn't fit it all in. So I thought, God, you know what, I want to follow your word in all those ways, acknowledge it. Am I acting in faith? Am I believing that the washing done? Am I doing it right? In basic words. So I left some on the line. So anyway, the next day, the clothes inside were dry. The following day, really humid day, all the clothes on the line were dry. So the point I'm trying to make is that if you follow the Holy Spirit in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and you act in faith, then he will make everything wonderful. He will fix everything up. It doesn't matter. You know, you don't have to worry. The devil's always saying to you, oh, you should have done it this way, you should have done it that way, you haven't done it properly. But it's a lie, because if you're using that scripture, you're actually, he will bless you in all circumstances.
Okay, let's give the Lord his tithes and his offerings, and we'll just pray over it as well. Hallelujah. Just hold it in your hand, but not so tightly that you're not going to let it go. Father, we thank you that you supply our every need, Lord, according to your riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, that's the covenant that we have with you. Father, I thank you this morning that as we give you as an act of worship, Lord, the tithes and the offerings, that Father God, you would bless. Lord, you would bless abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Father, that our storehouses would be full, Lord, because of the promise of your word, Father. So I thank you, Lord, that we are blessed to be a blessing. I thank you, Lord, that you don't even need our money, but Lord, we give it to you because of everything else that needs to happen with it, Father. The running of the church, the paying of wages, Lord. So, Father, may these tithes and offerings go forth and multiply. 30, 60, 100-fold, Lord, into the kingdom of God. And for that we say, thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Mikey, can we just do that other song while this, I believe?
Comes up straight away. Morning. Trudy was naughty. She had that song again. I was going to have it at the end of communion. Let's not beat ourselves to death with it. But Trudy and I locked up last Sunday night, we went out the door. She said, "Oh, can you do communion again next Sunday morning?" I said, "What? Just did it. Good job." I do believe that there's many facets. As I spent last Sunday night, many facets to God's table of remembrance, the communion table, sort of a type of the Passover feast, and so I was able to think about something else. Last Sunday when I chaired around communion, I talked a little bit about the physical and the spiritual. Now, we quite often we don't think about the spiritual side of what happened, because being who we are, our eyes and our ears hear about the graphic stuff that's happened. Jesus on his way to be crucified, hung on the tree, hung on a cross, and we slip past and miss some of the types and shadows that are around at that time. Tony's favourite book in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 53, and in there it talks about, which was written 700 or 800 years before Christ, they talk about him being hung on a tree. The reality was that the way the Jews crucified people was to stone them to death. So it just shows you that God's got everything in control. It's about 90 to 100 years before Christ was born that the what was the Turks or one of those groups through that area decided to start hanging people on crosses on top of a hill. And so, forecast by Isaiah 700 years before, that's how our Lord was going to be crucified or put to death. Said last Sunday night about the types and shadows. Jesus, the innocent, has exchanged Barabbas for guilty. That's another type of what the cross has meant to us. Jesus, the innocent, took our sin and the guilt that we have, and we paid the price for our sin, so that now we can stand clean and righteous before God. We can come close to him now, and he can come close to us, because he's taken away that barrier of sin between us. It was cleansed away by our Saviour. In the Old Testament, there were lots of rituals and procedures to go through to get to the same place that we're at today. But it had to be done yearly, and sometimes more often than that. But what we got was a once and for all perfect sacrifice in Jesus Christ. I just shudder to think what it would have been like to be a priest in those days. You'd have had to have a slaughter ram's ticket, all that sort of stuff to cut up the sacrifices. And just imagine how big our backyards would have been to have all the animals in ready for our yearly sacrifice, or if we were naughty, more often than that. Talks about in Leviticus is where it sets out all the rules and regulations of how these things are done. I just had a little bit of a look through it this morning when I got up to get my head around what I was going to say, and come across something that I'd heard about many years ago as a scapegoat. Twin goats were brought before the law, brought before the priest. Now, I'm not sure whether it's because of priestly sin or just a normal yours and I sin, but they used to lay hands on both of them, and then they'd cast lots for them. One would be sacrificed to the Lord, and the other would be sent out into the desert to die, and that's where the word scapegoat comes from. Now, I came across a daily devotion this week, and just caught my attention. I'll read it all to you, but if whoever likes to, whoever I've asked to share the tag things with us this morning, they'll be right. I think. Now, the daily devotion went like this. My little thing wants me to put extra words in there. That's gone. When an Israelite brings an animal as a sin offering, he lays his hand on it before killing it. It talks about that in, if you want to have a look through that gruesome stuff in Leviticus, that's what it says. By laying the hand on the sin offering, his sins are transferred to the innocent animal. The animal dies for his sins, and he goes through, and you and I go free. In contrast, during the burnt offering, when the Israelite lays his hand on the animal, the beauty, the worthiness, and acceptance of the unblemished animal are transferred to him. God accepts the perfection of the animal sacrifice on his behalf to make atonement for him. Because God accepts the unblemished burnt offering, the offerer now has the right standing with God. You know that the two offerings speak of Jesus' one offering, of himself when he hung on the cross. He's both our sin offering and our burnt offering. For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Our sin offering, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. as their burnt offering. The moment you put your faith in him, just by his one sacrifice, your sins were transferred to him, and his righteousness is transferred to you. That's the grace of God towards you. As sin offering, he offered himself once and for all. You can find that in Romans. The sin offering was never a daily offering because God did not want his people to be sin conscious. And I think some of us are a bit that way today. However, the burnt offering was both a morning and an evening sacrifice because God wants his people to be righteous conscious. Beloved, God wants you to lay claim to the daily to Jesus for your, as your burnt offering, and say, Father, I thank you that Jesus is my burnt offering. All that Jesus is before you, his righteousness, excellence, beauty, perfection has been transferred to me. Just as your unclouded favour, so I enjoy your unclouded favour in my life. Jesus is the righteousness of God, so I am in the righteousness of God in Christ. As he is before you, so am I. Because Jesus became your burnt offering, what he is to the Father today, you are. That's what it means to be in Christ. Would you like just all stand with me and we'll bless these emblems and then take them into our body. Father, we thank you for the body and the broken body of Jesus that hung on the cross and took our health, our wholeness, and with that sacrifice that Jesus gave, with that we are clean, we are whole. And Father, we just thank you for this symbol today as we take it into our bodies. Let that symbol resound throughout our whole being and have an understanding of who we are in Jesus Christ. Let's eat together. And it's a symbolic of the blood of Jesus Christ, which was poured out for everyone, not just some, but everyone. Not everybody grasps hold of it, Father, but those of us that have, we need to share with others. So we thank you for this blood that we're going to take into our bodies, and let that permeate us to realize that we are free from sin. Let us get a revelation of who we are in Jesus Christ. As I said last Sunday night, the Jesus' blood on the mercy seat is still wet. Just a once and for all shedding of the blood for our redemption and salvation. So we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, for strengthening you.
Hallelujah. Always a privilege and an honour and quite humbling to give God's word. And this morning I want to encourage you. I seem to find that I love to encourage the church. I don't always do some things, but I love to encourage, and I better not look at last week's notes either. That might not go down too well. So I want to encourage you this morning. And the title of my message is to break out of your old mindsets. Okay? Break out. Break out. There's victory in breaking out. And I really believe this morning we need to be breaking out of old mindsets. What I don't know about you, but I know for me, I think I haven't got any. Yeah, right. Oh my gosh. No, I have plenty of my old mindsets to break out of. But it doesn't matter, because I know that God is amazing. I know He's awesome. I know that He's so full of love for each and every one of us right now. Right where you stand, you're the apple of His eye, and you are important to the Lord. Amen? If you don't believe it, you need to read your word, because He tells us in His word how important He is, we are to Him. For God so loved the world. That was you, that's me. And I want to read to you from Colossians, from my lovely new Passion version, because I love it so much. Mary and I have got a great new love affair with the Word of God. And I want to read to you from Colossians 3, verse 12, and it says, you are always, what does always mean? Always and dearly loved by God. What did I say? We are loved. We are important to the Lord. You are always and dearly loved by God. So robe yourselves in the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavour to understand others, and be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble and unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way that you have been so graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the true mark of love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart always be guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of His one body. And always be thankful. Always. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach, and instruct one another with psalms and with festive praises and with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, and bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. Amen. Praise breaks chains. Sounds so simple, doesn't it? But we need to be believing that today. To break out of something, we need to spend a lot of time. And I don't just mean Sunday mornings. I mean at home, in the shop, wherever you are. Praise breaks chains. And in your mindset, that's where we need our change to be made. You know, instead of thinking the thoughts of what, you know, I'm worried, change them. Praise will change your mindset. It takes you out of that battlefield. I was listening to Stephen Furtick. Get that right in a minute. He's a lovely young man, lovely preacher, and he is the pastor of Elevation Church, which is where we got to get quite a few of our songs from. And I was listening to him the other day, and he said, if you feel weak within, talk it out. We need to open our mouth. Declare to God, I need you. We can't fight the battle for your mind, in your mind. Okay? You need to be opening our mouth and saying, it's like Lorraine said this morning in that testimony, it's the words. The words have power. Whether they're good words or whether they're bad words, whether they're positive words, whether they're negative words, they all have power. whether that be praise, whether it be the word of God. God, I need your presence. I may not feel it right now. Ask God to show up. Ask him to strengthen you. Lord, I'm hurting right now. Lord, I need you right now. Sometimes it's, God, help me, like, right now. And he will. He will. Amazing things happen when you flow in the Spirit. Amazing things. Not just a couple of things, not just nothing. Amazing things, because we know that God is for us. He's not against us. Amen? Hallelujah. I just want to read from you Proverbs 14, 6 and 7. It says, the intellectually arrogant seek for wisdom, but they never seem to discover what they claim they're looking for. For revelation flows to the one who hungers for understanding. The words of the wise are like weapons of knowledge. If you need counsel, stay away from the fool. For the wisdom of the wise will keep life on the right track, while the fool only deceives himself and refuses to face reality. God has given us everything we need. He's given us revelation knowledge. He's given us wisdom. He's given us understanding from his word. And Tony's favourite scripture in Proverbs 3, I'm going to read a little bit more. It says, trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him, the Lord, to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Be intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all, for wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion and avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment for your body, for what your body and your spirit long for. Glorify God with your wealth, honoring him with your very best, and with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. So it's as we seek the Lord's wisdom and his understanding, there in that changes your mindsets. It turns around what the world will try and tell you to do. His promises in his word are yes and they are amen. He promises in his word that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We live in a world right now where everything is so flippant. It's like, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, whatever happens, happens. No one seems to be committed anymore. If things don't work, that's okay, just throw out your new one. You know, whereas in the olden days, things would get fixed, they would get repaired. You just wouldn't walk out on things, you would repair things. It's like relationships and all the different things in the world today that just are fighting against the things of God. But you have to work at things. Things don't just happen. Sometimes you have to work at them. And for some of you that were here last Sunday night, I shared how we had this lady starting at our work this week. And she was starting on Wednesday, and I was having a bit of a challenge with her because she's quite strong and she's a lovely lady, but me, I was feeling very insecure. And Wednesday came, and I'm like, okay, God, you're here with me, like, you know, I can do all things. Anyway, still the flesh tries to override everything that you're believing, but God, but God. So I won't say I didn't get irritated a couple of times at things that she did different than I would ever do, and, you know, stuff like that. You just get caught up in these little things, and it's just the little things. It's the little things that spoil things. Anyway, went on Wednesday night, and I'm like, well, gosh, I don't know if I even want to stay there anymore. Like, it was all too big, too hard. Lisa's like, I'd showed her something. I'd sent her a message on something, and it had this, the Mega Health had this new face mask out. So she goes down the shop and she comes back and she sends me a message back. I bought it, Mum, so we're not going to the gym tonight. We're going to have a mother-daughter night. We're going to have a face mask and just sit down and watch the Commonwealth game. Just chill out, because she thought I needed it and I thought she needed it. So it was like, okay. So that's what we did. And anyway, so I didn't stress about it. It was like, okay, God, you just got to let things go and let God. So when Thursday morning I got up, change of attitude. Like I've been praying, change of attitude. Lord, I'm going in with a new mindset. Lord, I'm going in with, you know, no preconceived ideas. I didn't have any, but my attitude. The lady didn't change. She knew nothing. I was sweet. I was kind to her, like, you know. But my attitude inside was a bit stinking. So it's like, yeah, just out of whack a little bit, you know. It was on my ground kind of thing. It was mine, you know. Anyway, so Thursday went in, new, whole new attitude. Day was totally different. You know, it was like, I just walked in and went, sometimes you just got to breathe. You know, we forget to breathe. And a couple of people have said that to me, another lady that I was sharing with about it. She said, just breathe, just be yourself. Like, you're okay. When you do that and you listen, and but when you do it, you know, you can hear things, but it's actually when you actually put action to what you're hearing that things change. And so my Thursday, my Friday, much better days. And I was like, okay, God, you know, I can do this. So it was like, that was from a bit of last week's message as well. But it was changing my mindset. That was where that I had to break through and change my mindset from what my flesh was trying to do to tell me. Because it wasn't the devil. I don't believe it was necessarily the devil. It was what was in here. That was where my battlefield was. And I had to readjust what God was wanting me to be and to do, like to be who he wants me to be, you know? And when I do that, you can kind of learn to relax and just let him do what he wants to do. And she's an amazing lady, this lady. She's done so much in her life, and I've learned so much about her. And so that's been wonderful. So God is good. Now, where do I get with that? God's promise is to us that he will go before us. He will be with us wherever we go. And in Deuteronomy 31, 6 and 8, it says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And the Lord, in verse 8, says, he is the one who goes before you. Didn't say it once then, he said it twice, so that must mean it's important. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. And God is our fixer-upperer. There's a show on TV, I think, that's called Fixer-Upperer Show or something like that, where they fix houses. It's all about houses and designing and all sorts of stuff. They pull things apart, put them back together again. And God is our fixer-upperer. He's our restorer. He's our strength. He is the God of the second, third, 300th chance. Do we get it? Sometimes I'm a bit not with it all the time. Sometimes I'm not listening. Sometimes I'm not hearing clearly what he is saying. But he's always there. He's always leading me and guiding us through till we get it, whatever it is and whatever it looks like. And in Psalm 23, again from the Passion Version, it says, he offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where he restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in his footsteps of righteousness, so I can bring honour to his name. That's the breakthrough. That's where the breakthrough is. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. We are spirit beings. We have a body. We live in a body and we have a soul. And that soul is your mind, your will, and emotions. So that's where you have to make adjustments sometimes. And I want to encourage you all today that we can break out. Break out of what you might be saying. We've all got something. We've all got habits that just hold us back a little bit. Even just here, like up on the stage, things can hold you back. For me to walk around is actually huge, because I'm sure most of you know, I'll stand here. I'm quite happy to stand here. This is a safe place. Back here is a safe place. So for me to actually be out of there, for me, is huge, because it's like I'm breaking out. I am breaking out today and always, because I don't want to be stuck in a rut. I want to change the mindsets of what is old. And how do we do this? How do we change? How do we break out that mindset? By the renewing of your mind. Romans 12, and I love it again. I'll read it from my favourite book, the Word of God. Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. How about that? You know, we like to be accepted. We like to want people to like us and to be accepted. And sometimes we compromise instead of them compromising to go our way. We actually go their way. So it says here, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. So that's quite a turnaround, isn't it, in your mindset of what you're going to think. Because we can easily go man's way, but we want to go God's way. And then he says, this will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So this is not just them saying, whoa, you know, we've got to stop doing this, stop doing that, stop doing this, stop doing that. But God gives us that way also, and it's for us that we be empowered to discern the will of God. Like, that's awesome. That's something to be excited about. Then we will live that beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Wow, thank you, Lord. And if you're struggling to know, sometimes I don't know how to change my mindset. Yeah, you do. Just change your mind. Know the Word of God. Know what it says. In Philippians, it actually tells us what to say. We all know it. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And I love the encouragement. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And, not but, not if, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Chris had sent me a message this morning, and I said something back to him, and he's like, remember you have the mind of Christ. And I was like, yeah, I have. Yeah, I have. He didn't encourage me at all last week. This week he encouraged me, so I was happy. Anyway, I have the mind of Christ, he reminded me. And that's what we have here through, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Then he tells us what to meditate on. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is anything praiseworthy. What does he say? Meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And, again, not but, not if, and the peace of God will be with you. What more could we want but God? sometimes we can get caught up in the yoga things and that, you know, they're breathing and all that sort of stuff. But it's like, sometimes you've got to breathe in and breathe out and just be still and know that He is God. So, but we all know that everything's a counterfeit anyway, don't we? The devil always tries to copy what God did. So God tells us, He breathed into us the breath of life. Whoa, hallelujah. So that is amazing. So that's what He tells us to do. So thank you, Lord, for that, that He gives us instruction, that He tells us where we need to be going. Breakout. I looked that up in the dictionary. It was like, oh, I had this wonderful thought. What does it mean? A forceful emergence from a restrictive condition or situation. So the first picture I thought of when I did that, it was like a chicken hatching from an egg. Like they've got, you know, the size of an egg. And he wants to get out. He's grown. He can't grow any more while he's in that egg, can he? That's it. He can only grow that much. What has to happen? He has to break out. He's chip, 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 chip away and break out. Then he can grow. So in that, he's not so much forceful in that, but he knows he has to get out because he can't stay there any longer. And then when he's had enough, he has to get out. When he's grown, all he can grow. And of course, the other obvious one is always prison breakouts. So it's like, well, they want to get out, don't they? They've had enough of where they've been. They've been closed in. They've been hemmed in. And they can't grow anymore. I'm talking about the chicken there, not the prisoner, because once you get out of prison, you can be free, can't you? But they all want to be free. They all want the freedom. They want to have a freedom. They want to break out. And so sometimes that's what we want to do. We want to break out. Mindsets can hold us back so, so much for whatever reason. Whether it be you're just stubborn and you don't want to do it. Whether it be you're not reading your word and you don't know what to renew your mind with. You can be just lazy, you could just be happy where you're at, perhaps. And no, I'm not. I want to be moving on and growing in God. There are also good, solid mindsets that are based on the Word of God. But they too can be changed, they can be adjusted. So we need to be open to what God wants us to be and who He wants us to be. And there's that fruit that comes, isn't it? When you're growing, when you're changing, when you're changing that mindset, you know that you're growing in God. I'll just read from Ephesians. It talks about the love of God. He loves us so, so, so much. Paul prays for love to overflow. And this is what Paul said in Ephesians 3:14-20. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on the earth. And I pray that He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of His glory and favour, until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate, how far-reaching is His love, how enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. So don't doubt what God is doing. Don't doubt that God wants to change your mindset. He does. He wants you to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed into his image, not into our own image. Children mimic, don't they? And sometimes we mimic as adults, and we need to be careful who we mimic and what we mimic. Watch too much TV, you're going to watch a lot of garbage, you know. And you think of, like, with the Commonwealth Games being on this last couple of weeks, like those young people that are there, they're not there because they just got up one day and decided that that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to go to the Commonwealth Games. Some of them might have. They didn't just rock up there one day. They've trained, they've mimicked, they've copied, they've trained, they've trained, they've trained, they've trained. They've renewed their mind that, no, I can't do this, you know. Oh, whoops, I messed that up. Well, yeah, get up and do it again, you know. So it's not just a once off that they give up. They didn't give up. They changed their mindset that I can do this. I can walk on that skinny pole. I can dive that from that 10-metre platform. I can run that race. And then you've got the Paralympians that are just amazing people. Oh, my gosh. I just go, wow. I you know, sometimes I'm in awe of them because of their get-up-and-go attitude. Like, they've been down. They've been down further than probably any of us have ever been. But they got themselves back up. And look at them. I mean, this morning, quickly, I turned the TV on just to see what was happening in the world. And one of the girls had just won the race where they race marathon, I think it was, with wheels, like they're sitting down. She got off. She was just beaming. I can't remember how far they'd gone, but it was like her arms would have been burning. You know, like everything within her would have been aching and all of that. And to see her face, you know, to know that she's conquered. She didn't have any legs, but that didn't stop her. You know, she kept going. She changed her mindset. She broke out of the mentality of she's the victim. She's not a victim. She didn't stay a victim. She could have, and a lot of people do, but she didn't. She got out. She broke out. And she changed her mindset in doing all of that. So don't take God lightly. Trust, trust, trust in him. Moment by moment, he is gently wooing you. Moment by moment, he is loving you. Moment by moment, his presence. His presence. His presence. We just need to soak in his presence. He always has miracles in mind for each and every one of us. You know, he's so good. The Lord is so good. And he loves each and every one of you. I just want to finish with this. It's an expert from Bill Johnson, the devotion that I've been doing. He says, should God be questioned because of man's poor response? And he talked about the 10 lepers in Luke 17, 15 to 18, where only one returned to say thank you. Does that mean that the 9 others didn't receive a touch from God? No, they did. They received a touch from God, every one of them. Every touch from God contains seeds of transformation. Chris quite often says that everything comes in seed form, and that's what that's saying there. A touch from God contains seeds of transformation. God touches, man decides whether he wants that touch or not, or if he wants a transformation. Touch and transformation are totally different. And we want to be transformed, not just from a touch. We want that transformation, and we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I thought that was brilliant. I was like, wow, God, thank you for that. Because sometimes you question, you know, if someone didn't get healed, or, you know, we always, something doesn't happen, we wonder, why, God, why? But did we just get that touch, or did we want that transformation? And I really believe that that's a revelation for me today. I don't want to be just touched. I want to grow the seed of that transformation. Everything is a growing thing. A baby doesn't just be a baby born once and then just die, or just, you know, all that time the baby is growing. It grows from a baby to a toddler to a child to a young adult to an adult to an older person. Lisa said last night we went out for tea with Jason Joe for Joanne's birthday, and we're driving home and she's like, I just wanted chips and gravy for tea tonight. She's like, why do I have to be a grown up? She had pasta or something, and she's like, I didn't really want pasta, I just wanted chips and gravy, but I'm a grown up, I've got to act like a grown up. And sometimes that's what it's like, isn't it? You know, we don't want to do the grown up things, we want to do what children sometimes do. But that's the maturity, that's the growing up, for just a simple funny one. And I might leave it there, because I think that you've all got my point. Let's break out of the old mindsets that are in us. There is fruit in our lives that come forth when we change, that come forth and bless other people. Because it's not all for us, it's not all about us. We're a testimony to the world. And our life is that testimony, isn't it? And so when we change, the world has that opportunity to see the change and hopefully change in return. Is that right? Do you believe that this morning? Yeah. I'd like Nike to play the last song. And if anyone would like prayer, I would love to pray with you. I haven't got it all made, but I'm not here. God is here. The altar is open. And I really believe that, yeah, if you would like prayer, I'm happy to pray with you. You might be struggling in an area that you need to break out of. Like I said, it's the power of God, it's not me. So let's stand as we sing this last song. Thanks, Nike.